Converted into
Swayam
personally. all-powerful one, hear thee, Kurvanti, take into a holy place of pilgrimage. Virtani, holy places. Sva antaha, tena, having been situated, in the heart,
Vadavrata,
the personality of Godhead.
The personality of Godhead.
My Lord, devotees like your good self are verily holy places personified. Because you carry the personality of Godhead within your heart, you turn all places into places of pilgrimage. Purport. The personality of Godhead is omnipresent by his diverse potencies everywhere, just as the power of electricity is distributed everywhere within space. Similarly, the Lord's omnipresence is perceived and manifested by his unalloyed devotees like Vidura, just as electricity is manifested in an electric bulb. A pure devotee like Vidura always feels the presence of the Lord everywhere. He sees everything in the potency of the Lord and the Lord in everything. The holy places all over the earth are meant for purifying the polluted consciousness of the human being by an atmosphere surcharged with the presence of the Lord's unalloyed devotees. If anyone visits a holy place, he must search out the pure devotees residing in such holy places. Take lessons from them. Try to apply such instructions in practical life, and thus gradually prepare oneself for the ultimate salvation, going back to Godhead. To go to some holy place of pilgrimage does not mean only to take a bath in the Ganges or Jamuna, or to visit the temples situated in those places. One should also find representatives of Vidura, who have no desire in life, save and except to serve the personality of Godhead. The personality of Godhead is always with such pure devotees. The personality of Godhead is always with such pure devotees because of their unalloyed service, which is without any tinge of fruitive action or utopian speculation. They are in the actual service of the Lord, specifically by the process of hearing and chanting. The pure devotees hear from the authorities and chant, sing, and write of the glories of the Lord. Mahamuni Vyasadeva heard from Narada, and then he chanted in writing. Shukadeva Goswami studied from his father, and he described it to Pariksit. That is the way of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, by their actions, the pure devotees of the Lord can render any place into a place of pilgrimage. And the holy places are worth the name only on their account. Such pure devotees are able to rectify the polluted atmosphere of any place, and what to seek of a holy place rendered unholy by the questionable actions of interested persons who try to adopt a professional life at the cost of the reputation of a holy place.
Now, do we need more space at the back? And that means, if you see some space in front of you, please fill it up. because more people may still wish to come. Are you controlling this church? No. So all this empty real estate can be filled.
not for any material advantage, not to resume his former position in the palace, but just to rescue his brother, Dhritarashtra, who was lying in the palace, living out his last days in frustration and disappointment and unhappiness, accepting the charity of the Pandavas, who killed all of his 100 sons, and whom he and his evil-minded sons had tried to kill. So it was a degraded life for Dhritarashtra, not knowing what else to do, where else to go. He remained stuck under the in the family orbit, accepting the security of life under the care of the Pandavas, and totally putting out of his mind the thought that what security is there? My sons have all died, my father has died, I'll also die, and what will I have achieved at the end of my life? Simply the mischief and evil that I've taken part in. And my life will be a failure. It's already a failure politically. I've lost everything. All of my hopes, all of my dreams have been smashed. And spiritually he wasn't thinking. Just, I have a few more days left. And he's routinely going on in the palace life, where he's just stuck in the rut. He doesn't change. He doesn't think, let me do something radical. Let me change course. No, let me plod on here in the palace as the royal uncle of Maharaj Yudhisthira. Yudhisthira Maharaj, this great soul, was respecting Dhritarashtra in spite of so many political moves. Yudhisthira Maharaj was respecting Dhritarashtra as his elder uncle and giving him all consideration. And Dhritarashtra, as a fool, was accepting all of this and living, as Vidura will later say, like a dog in the house. So Vidura was always affectionate to Dhritarashtra and was always his sincere well-wisher. He in so many ways tried to dissuade Dhritarashtra from pursuing a disastrous war. But Dhritarashtra was intent on disaster. And now that he has lost everything, now that Dhritarashtra has lost everything, Vidura sees the final opportunity to deliver his brother from material bondage. When everything fails, that's a good opportunity. When everything appears to be success, one is rolling on under illusion, thinking, this will go on forever. I'll go on with my program. But when things fail, then one sometimes begins to question what to do. And usually one reaches no good conclusion. What to do? Well, stay here. But if one is fortunate enough to be advised, or more than advised, urged by the words of the great soul, one can get free from the illusion of materialistic security, material security, happy, permanent family life. In the Hindi syllabus for children in Uttar Pradesh, there's a little poem, and it talks about how in the family there's kheer, and there's this and that, and there's mother is there and father is there, everything is so nice. Amar nitya sukhi parivar. But that sukha and that parivar are anitya. It will not last forever. But under illusion one thinks this will go on forever. One doesn't question, one doesn't think that this will all be finished and end all. So Vidura specifically came to enlighten Dhritarashtra. Vidura didn't go, Vidura went to the holy places, Dhritarashtra didn't go. Vidura also could have thought, now I've lost everything, let me go to some holy places and purify myself of the reactions of my past sins. He thought, let me stay here. But Vidura came. It means the holy place personified came to Dhritarashtra to deliver him from material bondage and foolishness. And Yudhisthira Maharaj acknowledged this. He recognized this, that you yourself are a place of pilgrimage. When you're coming to our palace, it means that the holy places personified are coming. Why are the holy places holy? It's because of you. It's because of pure devotees like you. Why? What's so holy about you? Within your heart, you're keeping the personality of God. Always thinking of Krishna, always serving Krishna. So Krishna is within the heart of the devotee, and the devotee is within the heart of Krishna. Sadhava Hridayam Maniyam, Sadhava Hridayam Tam. Devotee doesn't know anyone but Krishna, so Krishna doesn't know anyone but his pure devotee. So such a pure unalloyed devotee has come to Hastinapur, has come to the palace, and therefore the Yudhisthira Maharaj praises him that it's devotees like you, Bhagavata, Bhagavata is plural. You're not the only devotee, but you're a representative sample of the great devotees of the Lord. You're the shining example of a pure devotee of the Lord. You yourself, Vipo. Vipo means powerful. Powerful. You're very powerful. Yudhisthira Maharaj is the king of Hastinapur. He's the king of the world. He's defeated in battle Bhishma, Drona, Jayadrata, Karna, thousands and millions of men. And he's saying to Vidura, who's now just a pilgrim, you're powerful. You're powerful. Why? Because Krishna's within your heart. It's not worldly power. It's spiritual power. And we'll see that spiritual power in action in this chapter. How does the pure devotee manifest his power? Does he show some incredible magic to impress people with his perfection? Does he do something to show what great power he has? Does he perhaps claim that I'm so powerful that I must be God himself or avatar of God? No. He's powerful by speaking the truth. The truth is powerful. Krishna is the absolute truth. Satyam Param. Some people have invested in some other satyam. It turned out to be not so much the truth. But here is Param Satya, the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead. That personality of Godhead is unlimitedly powerful. And there's no difference between that personality of Godhead and his name, his form, his qualities, his pastimes, his message. And therefore, when the pure devotee conveys the message of Godhead, when he tells about the qualities and activities of Godhead as found in Srimad Bhagavatam, or when he speaks the message of Krishna himself as spoken in Bhagavad Gita, these sound vibrations, transcendental sound vibrations, have unlimited transcendental power. That's the power of a pure devotee. That sound vibration can transform any place and any person. Any person means any person who receptively hears the vibration. If we refuse to hear, what will be the benefit? Chanakya Pandit also says that what is the use of instruction for a person who's a fool and refuses to hear? It's like the value of a mirror for a blind man. No value. But the words of the self-realized soul will be especially effective when there is a willingness to hear his message. Parikshit Maharaj heard from Sukadeva Goswami and attained perfection. Arjuna heard from Krishna and attained perfection. This hearing process will give us perfection. So a pure devotee like Vidura speaks the message of Krishna as it is. And such pure devotees typically are found in holy places. You don't find them in the stock market. You don't find them in the clubs. You find them in the holy places. These are the places where the pure devotees like to gather, because these places remind them of Krishna and Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's glory. So the pure devotees typically congregate in such places. But they're not the only ones who congregate in such places. People of a business mentality also congregate in such places. We find, practically speaking, if you go to Tirupati, if you go to Guru Vayur, if you go to any holy place, apart from the temple, there will be a bazaar, and so many merchants will be there to do business outside the temple. And that's all right, that's their occupation. They're business people, shopkeepers. The pilgrims require something, whether it's vegetables or it's anything that's for sale. The pilgrims want to buy something, and the merchants are there to satisfy the need, and it's straightforward. But unfortunately, once you go in the temple, or within the temple compound or temple area, not of a particular place, I'm not speaking of this place or that place, but so many holy places, you'll find another class of distant man, who's dressed in saffron cloth, or some similar, maybe white, maybe saffron, but he's very conspicuously a religious guide to the holy place, and he offers you so many opportunities to do some puja, to perform some holy rituals, to give generous contributions to the Brahmins and Pujaris. But he doesn't offer the spiritual message of Krishna. He doesn't offer the message of detachment from this material world. Why not? Because he himself has not realized that message of detachment. He himself is attached to the material world. He himself is supporting his family expenditures by his service in the holy place. His concern is how to make ends meet, how to live securely or happily, how to maintain his wife, how to maintain his children. And he's come up with this business, or he's inherited this business, and it's going on. But there may be some little benefit if you want to know how to perform a ritual. I'll show you how to perform the ritual. That's also a kind of service. All right. But he doesn't have that power. He doesn't have that spiritual power to bring about a change in the heart of the pilgrims. He doesn't have the power to bring about that change. Vidura is such a powerful person, he'll change the heart of Dhritarashtra. Even Dhritarashtra, the blindest of the blind. Even Dhritarashtra will get spiritual realization by hearing the powerful messages delivered by Vidura, who lays it right on the line. When you read the rest of this chapter, you'll see that Vidura isn't meant for seeking flattery to the king, to tell the king words he'd like to hear. He tells him, your teeth are falling out, your liver is failing, you've been blind from birth and you're spiritually blind also. You're living in illusion, like a dog accepting scraps from the hand of Bhima, who killed your favorite sons. You're trembling from old age, in fear of death, and living here like a dog. When we attend Bhagavad Pratsaha or some religious discourse, these are not usually the words that we hear. The professional reciters prefer to give us some pleasant messages about family duty and family happiness. You just keep everything as it is, and sometimes attend a discourse like this and give generously, and it's very nice. And perhaps they'll especially speak the topics that are most attractive to the audience. They'll jump right to the Ras Lila of Lord Krishna, which they don't understand themselves, but which attracts an audience because it sounds like the ordinary activities of boys and girls in which the whole world is interested. So that's also very good business. But when people hear and go away, there's no change of heart, no substantial change of heart. But the pure devotees, because they're not pure devotees of the world, they're not trained by a bona fide spiritual master in the Parampara system. They've not undertaken the discipline of spiritual training under a bona fide spiritual master. They've not developed knowledge of the Shastras, true knowledge of the message of the Shastras, and therefore they've not developed detachment from material hankerings and material accumulations. Therefore they don't have it to give. The assets are not with them to deliver. But a devotee like Vidura has those assets and delivers those assets. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada advises us here that when we go to holy places, this should be our aim, to find such pure persons and hear from them. The Bhagavatam says that if one just goes to the holy place to bathe in the river, in the Jamuna, or the Godavari, or the Jordan, or any holy river, and he doesn't hear from the saintly person in such a place, then Janeshu Abhigyeshu Saeva Gopura. Such a foolish person is no better than a cow or an ass. When you go to Vrindavan, you'll see so many cows, buffaloes, asses bathing in the Jamuna. But we don't see signs that they're developing spiritual realization. So the recommended process is not simply to enter the river. It's to hear the transcendental vibration from the lips of pure devotees of the Lord. And then, by hearing, finding such a person, hearing from him, and then trying to apply such instruction. It's not just that we hear and then we go away. Yes, I met a great saintly person, I heard something, it was very nice. What did I hear? What do I have to do about that? This spiritual message is meant for action. Suppose if I were sitting here and I, without wanting to alarm you, I just calmly told you that this building was on fire and that we would like you, starting with the people in the back, to keep cool, but please leave as quickly as possible. And suppose you all sat here and said, yes, he speaks very well. He was so calm. It made such good sense. No, you have to move. So the saintly persons like Vidura are giving us such a message about the material world. Samsara dhamma. The material world is like a forest fire. No one wants a forest fire, but forest fires spontaneously occur. The reeds, by the action of the wind, rub up against one another, heat is generated, fire breaks out. Once the fire breaks out, it's very difficult to get free. But the words of the pure devotee of the Lord, carrying the mercy of Krishna, are like rain on a forest fire. The bucket brigade comes, they can't do anything about the forest fire. It's ineffectual. But when the rain comes, the fire can be extinguished. So we hear from those pure devotees, and then the result should be that we act. We act. At the end of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna asked Arjuna, are your illusions now gone? Are you free from misgivings? And Arjuna said, yes. Nashta moha satyurlabha tat prasadam yatita. My dear infallible Lord Krishna, by your mercy, my illusion is finished, I've regained my spiritual sense. Chitosmi Vatasandeha, I'm situated again in my normal position. Kodishye Vachanamsava. And therefore, I'll do what you say. It wasn't, I've heard everything, but still I'm not going to fight. I've heard, I've understood, my illusion is gone, and now I'm going to do it. That's the result that we should strive for by hearing from pure devotees of Krishna. That's the desired result. We search out such pure devotees, we hear from them, then we assimilate the message, we think how we'll apply it, how we'll apply it, and we do it. So this Krishna consciousness movement is meant for that. It's meant to bring one from the position of an entangled person, a person who's stuck in the material world, to the position of an enlightened soul who understands the message of Krishna and who can apply the message of Krishna, who keeps Krishna within his heart, who thinks of Krishna, who becomes a pure devotee of Krishna, who's always engaged in serving Krishna and offering obeisances to Krishna, glorifying Krishna, speaking for Krishna, writing for Krishna. And then it's meant for giving that, to enable such persons to give that association to others. One person hears the message, becomes inspired in Krishna consciousness, he gives the message to the next person, becomes inspired in Krishna, that person becomes inspired in Krishna consciousness, he goes to the next person, like electrical current. Electrical current, I touch you, you touch him, he touches the next person. So then the electricity travels. So this message is electrical, and we are fortunate to be able to hear it and be able to take it up in our lives and distribute it to others. It's for this purpose also that Srila Prabhupada gave so many books. The books themselves can act on any sincere person. One's own heart can become a place of pilgrimage. You keep your Goloka Vrindavan in the spiritual world, you can implant that spiritual world in your heart. Or rather, that spiritual world is already in your heart, because Krishna is already in your heart. And Krishna never leaves the spiritual world. That means, in your heart, he's brought the whole spiritual world with you. With him. Therefore, it's just a question of realization. Krishna's already there. Prabhupada said, omnipresent. I used to bring your peace. We just have to realize Krishna. And by reading these books, by associating with devotees, by chanting Hare Krishna, by following a simple discipline of Krishna consciousness, we can come, we can get free from the lower stages of life, afflicted by passion and ignorance, which no one benefits from. We can come to the stage of real purity, real truth, real Krishna consciousness. And that will make our life successful. Hare Krishna.
Do we have time for some questions? Yes.
Any questions? Yes? But loud. Or do we have a second microphone?
Yes. No.
We do. Okay, the microphone will come to you. Maybe. Shout, ladies don't shout. Even when they shout, they're not heard very well. That's it. No? Okay. Do your best at shouting. Did Dhritarashtra know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? No. He couldn't. Even though Krishna is right there, he couldn't understand. Still he's thinking that why did Duryodhana and Karna to kill Pitaksha. He should have tried to kill Arjuna or Krishna. That would have been better. So he's thinking that Krishna is someone that can be killed. Krishna is showing his universal form in the course of the Kauravas. And still, such a fool as Duryodhana is thinking, this tricky, coward boy should be arrested. Why? Because of sinful activities. A person whose heart is too afflicted by sinful activities can't see Krishna. Even seeing, he'll not see. Even seeing, he'll not see. It's like, here's Krishna. But those whose vision is not pure, we'll see, we hear some statues. We'll see that here's the statue of Krishna. And the more simple people will think, here are these foolish people worshipping a statue of Krishna. And the more pious people will think, this is very nice, they have a statue of Krishna, let me also worship the statue. But the pure devotee who's heart is completely pure, we'll see, here's Krishna himself. So we're moving, trying to move in that direction, purify our hearts so that we can see Krishna everywhere. But the very sinful people like Dhritarashtra, Duryodhana, even when Krishna shows wonderful activity, they think that Krishna is an ordinary man. Or on the other side, when an ordinary man shows some magic tricks, they think he's God. Is that all right? Another question?
Even though there are so many instructions that sometimes we don't tend to follow them.
We hear so many instructions, but we don't tend to follow them. Therefore, we have some work to do. We should recognize that I've heard some instructions, but I'm not following. So I have to do something about that. Even if I'm not able to follow, at least let me associate with those who are following. Maybe something will rub off on you. Suppose the doctor tells you, you have to do some physical exercises every day. And you say, yes, I actually have to do that. For one day you do it, the next day you do it, next day you do it, next day you forget, next day you do it, next day you do half, next day you forget, and within 2 weeks you're not doing it. But then if you join some club of people who are regularly doing it, or there's some group that are regularly meeting in the park and doing these things, that's because you're associating with them and they're doing it, so you also do it. By association. So this association is very important. On my own, I may not be able to do it. I'm able, but I don't somehow or other get up to necessarily determination to do it. But if I come in touch, if I keep company with those who do have this determination, I can ride on that and develop my determination also. Dhritarashtra has no determination. He's just sitting, rotting. But because he came in touch with Vidura, it acted. So if we've come in touch and still we're not getting the action, we're still not following, then we associate with those who are following, and it will happen. Our society is growing in that way. Yes? Excuse me. If you could not ring the bell, that would help because it's very hard to hear. Yeah. Nowadays it's very difficult. You go to a holy place and you don't see any holy people. So you can just stay home and read the books and don't go at all. Yeah. Srila Narottam Das Thakur has said that in Kali Yuga, visiting holy places is mostly just a bewilderment. We go to these holy places and we don't find the representatives of Vidura, the representatives of the Lord. We find business people and people that harass us for money, and people who can't really give us anything of great spiritual value. So he said that going to the holy places in this age is not so helpful. But yes, these books will be powerful. America, so many people have become devotees without ever leaving America. And what holy place did they go to in America? But they receive a book, and then they go to a place where devotees are gathered. They look in the book, they see an address, or they go on the internet, they find the address. And then they go. And that place is as good as a place of pilgrimage. Place of pilgrimage means where Krishna is there. So in the temple, Krishna is there. And the devotees of Krishna are there. Not to make money, but to offer service to the people who come to see the deity or to take the association of devotees. So in this age, we may be better advised that you don't have to go wandering here and there looking for saintly people. You find out where Krishna is being served, where pure devotees are gathering, and you look there for their company. And what are pure devotees? You read Srila Prabhupada's books, you find out the characteristics of genuine Krishna consciousness, of genuine devotees. You come in touch with Prabhupada by his instructions. He's pure devotee of Krishna consciousness, of Krishna. And then you make further progress from there. And then when you go to the holy place, you may go in the company of pure devotees. Instead of going there and looking, where is the pure devotee? The pure devotee will take you where you go with the pure devotee. And then when you go, you hear about Krishna, you hear about spiritual progress, you hear about the real goal of life, instead of just hearing something superficial or misleading. Yes?
Many places,
this
is my opinion.
In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says in many places, this is my opinion.
So he is the supreme personality of God. Whatever he says is the absolute truth.
So
why he says that, it is my opinion?
He's the supreme authority, the absolute truth. So why does he say this is my opinion? Because he's the supreme authority, the absolute truth. When the supreme authority says this is my opinion, that's it. When the Supreme Court judge says, this is my opinion, it's not like my opinion is your opinion. When he gives it to his opinion, someone goes to jail, someone gets out of jail, someone has to pay lakhs of rupees, someone receives lakhs of rupees, because his opinion has so much power. So when Krishna says, this is my opinion, something else. Krishna fulfills the desires of the devotees. And he fulfills the desires of the non-devotees. On the negative side. There should be some limit. There is a limit. The desires of the non-devotees are for something temporary. Asa grihit basat kram. Grihit basat kram. Moha grihit basat kram. they're grasping at something which, even if they get it, is self-terminating. It's outside, it's temporary. So even if I get it, it will be finished. The limits are built right in. Yes, here, take it. And it will be gone. Shortly. Because they're desiring something which is illusory, which is temporary, which has no lasting value. Therefore, they're fools. They're going to the absolute truth to ask for illusion. You're the absolute truth. Please grant me illusion. So they get what they ask for. They get to think, yes, I'm very happy in this material world. Everything is fine. I've got my this. I've got my that. That's their misfortune. Therefore, Krishna is more considerate. When the devotee is asking, please give me, Krishna doesn't automatically give. He considers, will this help the devotee? And sometimes he will give, like a father. The father is affectionate. He doesn't just give whatever the child asks for. He considers, this is good for the child. And if it's good, he gives. Therefore, people sometimes don't like to approach Krishna because he doesn't give. But if they're more intelligent, they approach him because if it's good for me, he'll give. Otherwise, he'll protect me. Something else? Yeah?
Can you
Let me take it a step at a time. That Dhritarashtra, I said, was not aware that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but...
But as a devotee to Krishna, he asked, why did I suffer? I lost all the other friends. Then Krishna has to ask him to meditate. Then after meditation, he comes out and his previous birth, he has been undergoing, and because of that, he suffered with the current birth.
So Dhritarashtra went to Krishna and said, I've lost my 100 sons. Why did I lose my 100 sons? And he came to know that because in my previous birth I did such and such. But he didn't know that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why did he have Krishna? So Krishna must be a very knowledgeable person. Krishna is very intelligent. Krishna, maybe he has some mystic power also. So let me ask Krishna. You know, Krishna's very great. But he didn't understand the true greatness of Krishna. He didn't understand. Because he wasn't a devotee of Krishna. So he couldn't understand. Krishna's, maybe Krishna knows the answer to it, but he might ask someone else also. But so he asked Krishna, why such and such? So I might have some misfortune. I may go to someone in the room and say, why did this happen to me? But if I ask you that, it doesn't mean I think you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You see? Yes. Do sinful people ever become devotees of Krishna? Yes. Even a sinful person, by the influence of a pure devotee, can become a devotee of Krishna. Valmiki, the author of Ramayana, the very sinful person. He was a murderer. But by the association of Narad Muni, he became such a great devotee. There was a hunter who was taking pleasure in half-killing animals, not killing them, half-killing them. So that when they would be half-killed, they would squirm in pain, and he would enjoy seeing how they were suffering. And Narada Muni made him a pure devotee. Yeh yeh shabhata yadavatara atrayashraya shubhyanti shabhmaya sabhadishnadeva. In Srimad Bhagavatam it said that any person from any sinful section can become purified by taking shelter of a pure devotee of Krishna.
I couldn't hear.
What about Dhritarashtra? Dhritarashtra was associated with Krishna, but he didn't realize. So why not? Because Krishna was right there. Just like a fly sitting on the king. He doesn't really get the benefit of the association of the king. Huh? It's not that because he's so close to the king. The king says, you're close to me, let me give you a part of my treasury, let me give you this land, let me give you this. He points some people to wave the shamara and get rid of the fly. So it's not, association is not just being close. Kamsa was very close to Vasudeva, the father of Lord Krishna, Devaki, the mother of Lord Krishna, very close to Krishna. Krishna was in the womb and Kamsa was right there. But he didn't get any realization. Why? Because inimical to Krishna. To get the benefit of Krishna's association, one has to be favorable toward Krishna. Even that hunter, who was so sinful, he somehow was affected by the association of Narada. So here's some saintly person. He offered him, can I give you something? Can I give you a tiger skin, or a deer skin, or a this skin, or a that skin? No, I don't want any skins. Thank you very much. But he offered something. So he got the benefit that he gave some offering, or made some offering to Narada. And was respectful, but yes, sir, you appear to be a great family person. So then he made fun of that. So even a little bhagavan of yatsidharma to try to say, not so open, even a little service given to a family person can rescue you from the greatest danger.
How to get out of previous
anartha? How to get rid of previous anartha? Chant Hare Krishna. It's said that by sincerely chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, even once, one can get freed from more sinful reactions of more sinful activities than he's able to commit. Ajahnya. He was so sinful. You know the history of how he became, he was a Brahmin boy, but he became so degraded. He married a prostitute, and whole life became a drunkard and a tacklay. But because he named his son Narayan at the end of his life, he's chanting, well, not only end, though he's chanting, Narayan, come here, Narayan, I'll bring that, Narayan, do that. And at the end of his life, he chanted Narayan, he was saved from the Yamadutta. In the holy name of the Lord, it's so powerful. We're not just playing around here chanting Hare Krishna. Some sentimental people are gathering, they sing and they dance. No. This is powerful.
Yes. What is the biggest obstacle on the path of Krishna consciousness?
What's the biggest obstacle on the path of Krishna consciousness? That's answered by the Kumaras in the fourth canto. The Kumaras say that the biggest obstacle to Krishna consciousness or spiritual advancement is to think that there's something else more pleasing than spiritual realization. That's the biggest obstacle. That Krishna consciousness is the ultimate goal and the ultimate process for reaching the goal. It's so pleasurable, it's so effective, but I'd rather watch the soccer match. I'd rather watch the cricket match. I'd rather go to the cinema Amitabh Bachchan. Something else is like, I could read Srimad Bhagavatam, but I'd rather read the newspaper or Cindy's list. The greatest obstacle to my spiritual realization, my spiritual progress, is to think that there's something else that's more pleasing. Yes.
Going back to the question about the fly and the king.
The fly and the king.
So you were saying that one thing is that there isn't any bogey in your business if it's inimical. And the easiest way to progress from that is to at least be favorable to consumption. But going forward from that, how is the way to maximize the benefit you can get?
So not just sit on the on the shoulder of the king like a fly, but as we render some service, how do we go on from there? How do we maximize the benefit? Do more service. Investment. How do you increase the benefit of your investment? Increase it. You thank your wise investment, and when it's been profitable, you invest the earnings again and make more. Or anything. If it works, you keep doing it. If it doesn't work, you leave it aside. So if Krishna consciousness is effective, then let me do more. If by service I got some pleasure, or if by service, even if I know that I didn't get so much pleasure, but I know it's the right thing to do, let me do more. I know that this medicine is the right medicine, let me keep taking it. Not, I took one pill and nothing happened, let me stop. But the pill has been prescribed by the qualified physician, it's confirmed in the books, this is the right treatment, and you take it for 2 weeks and you'll get the benefit, let me take it for 2 weeks. Not one pill and I didn't feel anything. I chanted Hare Krishna, but I didn't feel anything. Chant some more. So, and very quickly you will feel how you're making progress. Even people from the worst backgrounds, the Americans, the Europeans, the Africans, the Chinese, so many, they turn around and make progress by chanting Hare Krishna on the proper ground. So then why won't people from India make progress by chanting Hare Krishna, who have such better assets in their cultural background? Only a question to any. The more you do it, the more you get the results. There's a question to me. Better?
One more thing, Margaret. In terms of particular reference to associating with saintly persons?
Render service. When you associate with saintly persons, render service. Therefore, it's the custom that if we go to be a saintly person, we bring him something. Even some pata or some flower or some something. Some presentation. What? That's service. And we ask service, there's something I can do for you. That's service. And then if I continue, I try to serve more, or he gives me some instruction. That's service also, just to carry out the instructions of the devotee. It's service. Well, he may give you some service to do. Yes, we want to build a temple, we want to do something. Whatever it is, we want to distribute some books, we want to. So you do that, you get more progress.
And finally, the mood of meditation while you're doing it?
Mood of meditation while I'm doing it. Let me serve. This is for Krishna, let me serve. This is for a standing person, let me not. If I do this, I'll get that. Even if you think that way, still do it. But better to think that, let me do it. The saintly person has asked me to do something that he did. He's a saintly person. I'll get some benefit. Isn't the Lord himself permitting the people to do business in pilgrimage places? Yes, he's giving them a license. You can do business. The Lord gives everyone a license. You want to be a thief? Be a thief. You want to be a murderer? Be a murderer. You want to steal 7,000 crores of rupees in the name of Satya? You can do it. Without Mr. Gannon Bowen, he gives people the opportunity to remember him and people the opportunity to forget. So he's giving, he just questions, which license do you want? The license to do business, or the license to become Krishna conscious. Business, all right, that's okay, do business. But don't do business in the name of spiritual instruction or spiritual. No, that's not. Everyone has to do some business, that's all right. So you have some duty to perform, that's fine. But the higher duty we shouldn't neglect.
Should we give me some instructions? Should we stop here? Okay.
Thank you all very much.